Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And clearly, our little system here is not working correctly just yet. But you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 24th, 2012, episode 322, sponsored by Audible.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody. Jamie and I might sound like we're on the phone today because we are. We had a little technical difficulty right before the show, and the normal way we connect in is not working.
It's not my fault.
No, you didn't break it this time. It's not your fault. Okay. So we're going to do the best we can here. We might take two song breaks today, one a little early to try and get things resolved to connect in our normal way through the microphones. But in the meantime, we can still do a show, and I think you can still hear us. So we hope you can hear us. If anybody is listening, please let us know that you can hear us on Facebook. We would appreciate that. We also want to encourage everybody. We're having technical difficulties to trying to encourage people to vote for us as the best media outlet in the world. That's really good timing on our notes here, isn't it? We do want you to vote for us for the ESMA Awards, the Equestrian Social Media Awards. We've been nominated in Category 19 for the Best Broadcast Network. We didn't say that we were the best technological broadcast network. We're the best broadcast network because we're entertaining and fun. We never said we're really good with the technology side of things, did we?
Well, I believe that if you want to just call like it is, we pay somebody a lot of money to broadcast us, and they suck right now. So
yes, that is true. That is true. This is not actually on our end. It's on their end. We'll throw them under the bus. So
exactly.
So get your votes in. If you haven't gone to vote yet, please do. We will repost on our Facebook page where you can go to vote. You've seen it everywhere, but if you just go search ESMA Awards, you'll find where you can vote. And we're in Category 19. We would appreciate your vote. It would be really cool to beat some of the big guys. One of the big guys that we're up against is actually on the show today. So let's go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up.
On today's Audible.com Tuesday edition, we've got talent lined up from the barn door to the muck heap today. Starting out with Susan Kane, horsewoman of exceptional talent and executive producer of the HRTV show Unbridled. She's putting a new segment into that show this year called Thorough Talent. She's going to be here to talk about that, and we'll find out who's submitting their horse to be on that segment. And moving out the barn door and across the barnyard, Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV is here to serve up her weekly brand mash of headlines and horsey video treats from across the pond. And as we approach the above-mentioned muck heap, our plucky hosts will regale us with requisite headlines and horsey misadventures. So stay tuned.
We became plucky. Did you hear that, Jamie? We're plucky now.
I was trying to ignore that. Well, I'm going to go first today. My first daily Winnie, because I have two today, is going to go out to Katie Murphy. Katie Murphy is engaged. She says on her Facebook page, "The horses and I have won Roger over. I'm very excited to build our life together and spend the rest of our days with one another." That is so sweet. I love it. And Katie Murphy, of course, is the eventer that we have had on the show, because she was kind of dating the new to the horse world guy. I just married one, and then we had the old married couple, which is Glenn and Jennifer. So if you want to hear that show, I think it was on Valentine's Day last year that we did it.
Hey, that's great. So congratulations, Katie, they're finally engaged. Roger came through. I wonder how he did it. Remember he was talking about going to pick out a ring and all that? We have to have one.
Yeah, I just emailed her. I'm like, you have to come on our show tomorrow morning at 9:15. So stick around. We'll try to find out when they were engaged, because there's nothing women love more besides horses than a good engagement story. Because they go, oh, my God, look at the ring. Oh, my God, I love it. It's so sweet. Blah, blah, blah. So all that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Love it. Can't wait.
All right, we have a couple more today.
Okay, this is going to be really random, but somewhat funny as well. Jennifer, if you could post a picture on Facebook, this is my farrier. My farrier is a woman. Her name is Janine Ross. She went to clean out the litter box at her cat's litter box, and this is what she saw. The picture is going to go on Facebook, and you have to see it, because, first of all, who takes a picture of what their cat did in the litter box? Second of all, what cat pees a cartoon horse? Literally, the mark in the litter box is of a cartoon horse. The cat actually peed a horse. Now, when you see this, you will understand.
Okay, Jamie, you said this was random. This is beyond random.
Dude, imagine when she was over yesterday. She's like, "Did you see my Facebook page? Did you see what my cat did?" I'm like, no, I said, "It's your cat."
This is Christ in toast. Remember that?
I told her, I'm like...
But I didn't have the guts to say it, but you're right.
That's right. Remember that story? That's what this is.
I told her, I said, if your cat could pee the Virgin Mary, you would be a billionaire. There's like ears and everything.
All right, I want to see this. I can't wait for it to be posted.
It's up.
Let me take a look here. Let me take a look. Now my Facebook is hanging up.
No,
that was made up.
No, seriously. The cat,
by the way,
the horse.
Can I add something to this conversation? That is the cleanest kitty litter I've ever seen.
I know. I said, what do you go clean the cat box every time your cat goes? She's like, well,
our kitty litter box is not this. Even after I clean it, it's not this clean.
No, I'm the same way. I just dump my box out and start over.
That's oh my gosh, that is very funny. That is too funny.
Yeah. So there you go. It's my daily Winnie goes to my farrier, Janine Ross. Neener. She definitely wins a prize for having the most random Facebook post ever.
Well, thank you, everybody who's posted that they can hear us. We're not exactly loud and clear, but they can hear us. We're going to do the best we can and see. We put a support ticket into Blog Talk, so we'll see what happens. With that, we're going to try and connect in the regular way a little bit later, hopefully before our first guest comes on today. Well, I have two daily Winnies, too, and one good and one sad. Our thoughts and prayers go out to a co-host of the Western Radio Show, a guest many times, and was just here last week, Tammy Sarantz. She was one lucky girl. She was in a very serious auto accident yesterday, and I haven't gotten the report since she was at the doctor. But what happened was she was out with the boyfriend. Remember I was kidding her about her new boyfriend, Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they went to an event together, and on the way home, they were hit by a drunk driver. Who apparently they were turning left on an arrow, and the guy ran a red light, never slowed down, never hit the brakes, and T-boned them at full speed. It totaled both cars. She said it pushed her engine up into the car, but the compartment was okay. She thinks he has insurance. She hopes he has insurance, but apparently he was arrested for drunk driving. But she got pretty beat up. He got pretty beat up. But they're both okay. They're going to be fine. And she was going to the doctor to see what permanent things or what things that she really needed to address. But she said she was sore. She was hard to move her neck. It really shook her up. And part of the reason, and she said this on the air before, so I'm not giving away a family secret here, is that her father, when she lived in Australia, was killed by a drunk driver when she was young. So this really shook her up a bit, and we wish her the best. You know, certainly any of us that's been in an accident knows what that feeling is like after the accident. So we're hoping for a speedy recovery for Tammy. It was
wow,
tough to hear about yesterday. And then we had you know, another one of our regular guests here on the show yesterday. I saw she was in a car accident. She seems to be fine, but apparently totaled her car too yesterday. So boy, it was a day for those. So let's, everybody drive safely today. Don't text and drive. My next Daily Weenie is a fun one. Boy, we had a ton of activity on our Facebook page yesterday. Thank you everybody for that. A new listener that I don't know that we've seen before, who's another horse husband out there, and we wanted to talk about him because what he posted was just hilarious. And this is what he said, and he's from Melbourne, Florida. So I don't feel too bad for him being a horse husband in Melbourne, Florida. Glenn and Jamie, love your show. Thought some of the other horse husbands out there might like this. Here at Down Under Color, which I guess is their farm, they do paints, we currently have 11 horses, five of which stay in the barn overnight for various reasons. Yesterday, my wife had a doctor appointment, so I had to do all of her morning chores. I normally clean stalls early in the morning before I go to the office anyway, so I figured just feeding and letting the horses out would be so simple. The night before, Jackie starts to tell me what I need to do. And when I started to make a list, she says, "You don't need a list. Just listen and do it in the right order." Was that pretty good, Jackie? Is that how Jackie sounds, you think? With a southern accent. You do it with a southern accent now.
You don't need to listen. If you just pay attention, do it the way I tell you to do it, you won't have to write nothing down. But listen here, you just go ahead and you do what I say, and then you won't need nothing to write down, no nothing.
Okay. You're probably closer. He continues, "Good thing I kept writing anyway. I love my wife. P.S. Diamond is our pet mini pot-bellied pig." Well, the reason he told you who Minnie is because he actually posted a picture of the list that he had to write down to do the morning chores. And oh my God, Jamie, I've been a horse husband for 25 years, and I remember those early days when Jennifer would say, "You don't need to write this down. You just," exact same thing without the southern accent, exact same thing. And then you would not write it down, and you would screw it all up. It would be wrong. Everything would be done in the wrong order. Nothing would be fed correctly. I used to cheat. I have to admit, in the days I didn't write it down, I used to just feed everybody the same thing. So if you couldn't remember, it was better just to give them all a pound of grain. They all got a pound of grain, and they all got some horse treats because I was doing it. But, you know, that's what I did. Because if you don't remember, it's better than giving the horse that's only supposed to have a pound, 12 pounds. You know?
My
theory was the horses that only are supposed to get a pound, they're fine. The horses that were supposed to get 12 pounds get 1 pound, they'll live. If I did it the other way, I'd have a colic, and then I'd really be in trouble.
Yeah.
That's good reasoning.
So do you want me to read Scott's list here?
Oh, yeah, this is funny. Go ahead.
Now, Diamond, again, is the mini pot-bellied pig because when they said the second thing on the list, I was a little confused. Okay, morning. Unplug sensor. Find Diamond. That's a horse, man.
You wonder where Diamond goes.
What are they doing? Water in Monty's pellets. Put bucket up so pig doesn't dump. Stir feed in buckets.
Well, wait a minute. Can you read that one again?
Water in Monty's pellets. Put bucket up so pig doesn't dump. So the pig apparently just charges through all the stalls and knocks over everybody's feed buckets.
This guy deserves an award.
Yeah. Stir feed in buckets, feed chief, feed genie, zip, Miss X, and polka. Beet pulp, 2 scoops Miss X, stir to mix medicine, 4 scoops chief, 2 scoops summer, rest in Monty's. Dump bees in summer in Monty's on top, underline, on top of the beet pulp. Bring in summer and Monty. Outside. Find diamond. Again, that's
he's lost again.
2 flakes Timothy to Poco. Water Poco, shut the north gate. Move trooper to the north pasture. 1 flake trooper, 2 flakes each, Nikki and Sue, 1 flake Miss X. Find diamond. That's again the pig. Let chief out. Fill pasture water. Take out Miss X, Polka. Let genie and zip out. Fill water. Clean stalls again. Scrub and refill water buckets. Give Monty his Timothy pellets. Give hay to summer. Plug in fencer. Pick up pig poop from driveway. Find diamond.
Oh, and then take diamond in the house.
Yeah, and then take diamond
house.
In the house.
Okay. Scott Nelson from Melbourne, Florida, I hereby give you permission to divorce. Because
or at least get rid of the damn pig. Oh my God. And the fact that she thought he didn't have to write this down, I'm confused. And I'm a horsewoman.
Oh, some of the horses. See, this is the other problem. Some of the horses get 1 flake, some get 2 flake. By the way, none of these names are on that top 100 list. I also, that we talked about yesterday, we've got Genie, we've got Zip, we got Miss X, we got Polka. Some great
we've
names.
We've got actually. Diamond.
Oh, no, that was probably on the list. Diamond was probably on the list.
Yeah,
but that's the thing.
Nice.
Now, how
nice.
Are you supposed
so,
to remember that? You expect a lot from us horse husbands, is all I'm saying. You women out there expect a lot. This is a lot.
Yeah, this is a lot. I like to think that I'm not that bad, but when part of your husbandly chores include going into the tack room and putting 1 cup of flax seeds into the coffee grinder and parceling that out into the feed, to me, I guess I am a little like this lady too. Yeah, there's a particular order that things need to be done in. Like I was explaining to my husband last night that when you turn the horses out at night, because only 2 of our horses go out, but one is the more dominant one, so you have to open his stall, but then you only push Demir's stall a couple inches open, because when he is done eating, he will then walk over, and then he will push his nose and open his gate and go out by himself. But if you do it too much, then Jet's going to come over, and he's going to open the gate, and then they're going to go in the stall together, and then they're going to get mad at each other, and they're going to fight. He's like, so how much am I... Just open it? I'm like, you clearly did not listen. I'm like, 3 inches. You have to open it 3 inches, and he will go over there. So I did the whole thing over again. And now that I'm reading this, I'm like, oh, my God. I am that woman.
You're all that woman. But that
I'm
leads us to the, that leads us to the question of the day. What is the barn chore that you hate the most? And Jennifer has already posted that on Facebook. So what is the barn chore that you hate the most? So do you have one, Jamie? What's the barn chore that you hate the most?
The barn chore that I hate the most, I'm really trying to think about it because I just love everything about being in the barn. But I would have to say probably if I had to pick one, being in Arizona and having 3 acres and doing the irrigation and all that, we have to clean our pastures. And so about once a week, I go out there with the little wheelbarrow and I have to clean the pasture. And it just gets so heavy by the time I get back, and then I have to take it all to the thing, and then I have to unload it all, blah, blah, blah. So I hate doing that. I really do. Our poop goes to a pecan farmer down the street, and I have to shovel everything into the back of his little wagon that he leaves outside my gate. So I kind of hate that. My husband, however, hates one of my most favorite things that I do every night, and he hates blanketing. Hates it. It takes him forever. He's scared to reach between their back legs and grab the snaps and put it up behind their, you know, by their tail. He hates blanketing. And every night I'm like, can you help me blanket? He's like, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. And by the time he gets over, I'm done. It's like he's watching me and he knows when I'm done. And then he comes over. Oh, I was going to help. I'm like, you are a liar.
That's funny. That's funny. I kind of agree on the blanketing thing. The blanketing for horse husbands is kind of tough. And then remembering which damn blanket goes on which horse is another thing. That's the other thing. I used to have Jenna because we had so many horses when we had our big farm. We had 25 horses there. So she would have to mark the blankets because otherwise I'd just have them all on the wrong horses and they wouldn't be fitting. And one would be hanging halfway up his butt and the other would be dragging down to the ground. And I was just like, and then once you get them on and realize you have the wrong blanket, there's nothing that pisses you off more than that. Because then you got to start home. And there's nothing worse than wet blankets either. Wet blankets are awful. But my least favorite is filling the water bucket. I don't know what it is about filling the water, because we always were pretty good. We would empty the water buckets every day. So, you know, so a lot of people just top them off all the time. Well, we wanted clean water, because I like to drink clean water, figure the horses do too. So we'd empty the water buckets every day, and we'd have, you know, 50 water buckets. And even with the hose to the stalls and you filling them up, it just killed me because my ADD would kick in. It takes so long, my ADD would kick in, and about two buckets later, I was off doing something else. And then Jennifer would come through the barn later and say, water bucket's full, and I'd go, no, not really.
This is what Glenn did. Glenn would figure out a way to stuff the hose in the water bucket and turn
right.
it on and walk away to do something else. And then, instead of having a stall, we had a swimming pool in the barn. Yeah, that's what would happen.
Guilty.
I had good intentions. Oh, yeah, have you?
Oh, yeah, I just started thinking about, I'm like, oh, I'm holding the water bucket, the hose in the bucket. And we use muck tubs here because they drink so much in the desert. So I'm filling up the muck bucket, which just takes for dang ever, Glenn. You're exactly right. And I'll think, oh, wait, that thing is falling down. I need to go get that. And then I'll properly squish it down in the muck bucket and walk away. And then I come back like 10 minutes later and I have a pond in the stall.
I know. I have done it many times. You have good intentions. I mean, you have good intentions. You know that that you're going to be back in time. You have plenty of time. I have plenty of time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you sort of forget. No, water buckets definitely are. Now, the only one out in the pastures at the farm we're at now, they have the, like, what are they, 100-gallon, Jennifer, those big ones? It must be 100 gallons.
Yeah, they're huge.
Now, that one, you can leave for half a day and come back. It's still filling. The hose is still going. That one, you can go a long time. So we want to know, what is the barn chore that you hate the most? To tell us about it on Facebook. We want to hear it. We would love to hear that. Jamie, I think what we're going to do is we're going to do a commercial a little early. I'm going to put an extra song in. And during the extra song, let's try and connect to the real way. If that doesn't work, we'll be back on the phone. But that'll give us a couple of minutes to try and figure this out. Audible.com is the sponsor today, and Susan Nelson piped in just a minute ago on Facebook and says, just noticed you have Audible.com as a sponsor. They rock. I'm now on my fourth book, which I listen to on the way to and from work. Well, you know, when you're not listening to Horses in the Morning or the other shows in the Horse Radio Network, you can find a ton of entertainment at Audible Books. If you are not an Audible Book listener, you should really check it out. They have 100,000 titles to choose from. In every genre, thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and more. Plus, that you can play it on over 500 different devices, including the iPhone, the iPad, the Kindle, the Android phones, iPods, any MP3 player. You can find a list of all of the different devices you can play it on their website. It's easy to download. You just download the digital books, and you just start listening. What's nice is the way their little apps work and things is you start listening to the book, you get interrupted, you go away from the book, and you come back, and it starts right up where you left off. It's just like crinkling the little corner of the page over on your book. And, you know, Jennifer and I have been members since 2004. We've listened to over 100 books. We're heading to Philadelphia on Friday, and I think, Jennifer, we started a book on our last trip that we're going to have to finish on this trip. A Clive Cussler book. So we're going to be finishing Clive Cussler on the way to Philadelphia this week, and we'll have another one for the way home. So check it out. There's a free trial right now for Horse Radio Network listeners. you go to audibletrial.com/HRN. audibletrial.com/HRN. You get 15 days and one book free. So go in, listen to your free book, no obligation. Just put in a little bit of information, and you'll get your free download to give a try. So you have a 14-day trial to do that at audibletrial.com/HRN. And thank you, Susan, for piping in on Audible. So I think the only extra emergency song I have loaded up here is Girls and Horses. Does that sound
Yay!
Good to you?
Sounds good to me.
She talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders. I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls?
Templeton Thompson and Girls and Horses. Jennifer, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Do I sound okay? Do I sound lovely?
You sound beautiful.
Jamie, I think you're still on the phone. You didn't have such good luck, huh?
I guess not. We'll see here.
All right, we still like you. We still like you even on the phone. It's fine. We'll figure it out. Well,
Wait, it might work now. Hold on.
Hold on.
Oh, never mind. This thing sucks.
Right.
It hung up on me. Ah, hate it.
Okay. We're having a little. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty here this morning, but we're getting through the show. And I think our first guest is ready here. Jamie, do you want to take it?
Yeah, I'd love to because I'm really excited to talk to her. We've got Susan Cain on the line, who is the executive producer of Thorough Talent, which is going to air on HRTV, I believe, in March. Susan, good morning.
Jamie, good morning to you, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, it is a pleasure having you on, especially with your history. I mean, you have been – why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your history with the racehorse world?
Oh, my goodness. I think it it about requires a book at this point.
Right?
I'm 45 years old. I have spent my entire life in the company of thoroughbreds, primarily starting off just loving horses, and my earliest memory being that of Canon Arrow winning the Kentucky Derby in 1971, and I was simply smitten from that point forward. And I was fortunate enough to grow up on a farm, and being in New York early on as a youngster, New York breeding and racing started an incentive program in our state, and my mother bought some broodmares, and I really became a student of thoroughbreds and thoroughbred breeding and racing. And from there, spent many years galloping racehorses on the track for the likes of Todd Pletcher and Bill Mott, and really great horse trainers to learn from. And at the same time, growing up, I competed on the A show circuit. And quite frankly, way back then, the off-the-track thoroughbred was the horse of choice for jumping, because the warm bloods hadn't really infiltrated into the circuit at that point. So my background with thoroughbreds is racing, breeding, and, as I like to say, from mucking stalls to black tie balls, all in the same day. You know, literally anything and everything to do with them. And having that background, you know, I never saw a thoroughbred as just a racehorse. I really personally experienced the diversity of all the things one could do with them. You know, my mom rode in endurance trail rides, you know, with an off-the-track thoroughbred when I was 7 or 8 years old, and I used to trek along behind her on my pony. You know, and so growing up and seeing thoroughbreds in eventing and dressage and endurance riding, I mean, to me, there was never any limit as to what they could do. And then, you know, obviously as I matured and warm bloods came into the show ring, and there was really not so much of an outlet for thoroughbreds that were bred for racing, coupled with overbreeding, I think really landed the industry and the breed in a quagmire of overpopulation and a lot of problems that led to, you know, many wonderful horses unfortunately being slaughtered. And I'm so happy that now there's, you know, shows like yours at least get a spotlight on thoroughbreds, and I think the media has turned its attention to the plight of the thoroughbred and is really beginning to share, you know, across all platforms, all of the different things thoroughbreds can do, and I just want to be a part of sharing that message, not only to help the horses, but to help, you know, people realize their dreams of owning a horse and working with a horse and enjoying a horse.
Mm-hmm. Susan, let me jump in here, because what I got out of that is you have the coolest parents ever. What I got. I mean, your mom's doing endurance, buying broodmares. You guys got racehorses. It's just awesome parents. What a great way for a girl to grow up and to be able to sit here and be an executive producer for HRTV and bring your passion to kind of light and to educate people about it. You know, we're going to get into that, because you guys are looking for stories to tell. And so tell everybody a little bit about the TV series Unbridled, because I've seen a lot of the clips of it on YouTube, and you are a special talent for bringing out the best in people and interviewing them and getting their story and kind of like pulling on the little heartstrings as well. So tell everybody what your show is, and then we'll get into the thorough talent section of it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for your kind words. And, you know, it's really, the show is, I was thinking about it last night, and it's really, you know, it's an expression of my own love affair with horses. And I feel that horses really, that they have the special ability to bring out the best in people and also bring out, you know, parts of people that they didn't even know that they had, whether it be a depth of emotion or, you know, a talent to ride that makes them feel good about themselves. And that being said, when I started Unbridled in 2003, the reason I started it at that time was to share all of the wonderful things that happen with regard to the relationships in the horse world, because I had felt on TV that really all that was shown, you know, were either horses jumping a Grand Prix course or horses racing around an oval. And that, you know, from the person flipping around, you know, on the TV looking for something, if you weren't learned as to the nuances of that, it, you know, a lot of people would say to me, well, it's boring. You know, horses won't skew on TV because it's boring. Well, you know, if you don't know about it or you don't know the details, perhaps it's, you know, like me watching car racing or something, that I don't know the players and I don't know the people. So I'm not invested in it emotionally. So I started Unbridled to share all of the relationships that not only drive the industry, but what actually takes place before a horse crosses the finish line or before, you know, somebody's taking a victory lap in the Grand Prix ring, because I felt that the general public could really relate to that, because every success anybody has is out of relationship. So I wanted to present horses in that way, not necessarily as a sport or a commodity that somebody, you know, makes money off of. That this is an animal that's a sentient being, and you can really enjoy, and a relationship with the animal will not only enrich your life, but, you know, those around you as well that participate. So that's really the reason I started Unbridled. I was just tired of, you know, thoroughbred specifically being presented as a blue blood sport or somebody gambling their last 5 cents at the rail, when the reality is, I mean, there's a huge, you know, middle that makes the thoroughbred industry tick. And, you know, when you see, you know, a groom in a stall or a stall cleaner, you know, they have the same joy when the horse that they takes care of wins, you know, that does your billionaire horse owner, you know, or business owner that owns the horse.
Maybe more.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I wanted to share. You know, are those that part about horses and the horse industry, and specifically in an effort to, you know, make life better for horses and the people who love them. That's our mission statement, and everything, you know, everything that we do, that is the number one question. It's like, how does this help? Does it help, you know, educate a viewer? Does it help them help their horse? Does it help them ask better questions with their horse? And
well,
really,
you know,
unbridled to unbridle the myths of the horse industry or horse world.
Right. Well, and it's funny because you're right. And one of my favorite sayings is that education breeds interest. And when
yes.
you've got, you know, like you're sitting there and you're watching, say, you know, a NASCAR race, and they do a backstory on one of the drivers,
yes.
then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm cheering for that guy.
Yeah,
you know?
It's exciting. It's inspiring.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I've really cheered for many car guys, but whatever. It's the same story. But you're going to do a segment called Thorough Talent within your show Unbridled, and you guys are looking for submissions for the 2012 season. Tell everybody what you're looking for and how exactly they can send in their submissions.
Well, we are really looking for any thoroughbred related stories. You know, even if it isn't pigeonholed necessarily into NX racehorse, you know, if you have a thoroughbred that has changed your life in some way, we want to hear from you. And we have a web address, email address set up, which is thoroughtalent@unbridledtv.com. And that's where we're asking submissions to be sent. Really, we want to use the stories to showcase the diversity of thoroughbreds. And it just really was so timely that, you know, War Horse came out and Finder's Key, who
mm-hmm.
is also known as Joey, is in fact an off-the-track thoroughbred. And that really, you know, opened the door a bit, you know, I think to turn people's attention to the fact that, like, wow, this is a thoroughbred. And And I'm happy to see, you know, more and more stories coming forth from the, you know, the horse recently named Horse of the Year by the U.S. Equestrian Federation. Neville Bardos is a 13-year-old, you know, Australian thoroughbred. And Lucas being named the world's smartest horse, you know, from the in the Guinness Book of Records for counting, is an off-the-track thoroughbred. So we, you know, we're looking for stories that, that are really personalized and how a thoroughbred has changed somebody's life. Or how a person has changed the life of a thoroughbred to make it better,
Susan,
perhaps even in
Susan,
a...
Jamie has this horse that she got from jail, and I think she'd be perfect. It's off-the-track thoroughbred. He came from jail. His name is Jet, and he's doing so well now. And I think she should submit him for your segment.
I think she absolutely should.
I mean,
I'd like to know how Jet came from jail.
So I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Is my horse is the son of a Kentucky Derby winner, Lily T.
Oh,
and he went on to race with moderate success. Either all the racing either says he you know led from the start or was fractious in the gate and came in dead last. Then he went on to be a part of an illegal gambling ring where people take horses and they do match races in the desert. It's very illegal. Then he was tied to somebody's swing set in their backyard for a couple months, starved mostly to death with 700 pounds when the police took him. Then he spent a year and a half in jail. And now he lives with me, and he is competing his fourth horse trial in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's fantastic. That sounds more like a movie trailer or a show in itself.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah, and I've got pictures from when he was emaciated, and we definitely had some issues behavior-wise in the beginning, but I just actually, last week, actually adopted my second jailbird thoroughbred, who, after doing the breed research, is a grandson of Aladar. So I'm
fantastic. Well, yeah, I expect to see those stories across our email.
Okay. Well, I love the fact that you guys are doing this and you're telling, you know, the story of the thoroughbred because, as you know, Glenn has had off-the-track thoroughbreds as well, and I've had them my entire life. I mean, my first horse at 10 was a thoroughbred and taught me everything I know. I had it for 18 years, I've just got a special place in my heart for this breed. I galloped at Keeneland for a while, you know, and just anything to be around the thoroughbred, and the fact that you're doing something about it and you're out there telling people about them and showing the stories just really warms my heart, and I just want to say thank you for doing that.
Oh, well, it's a privilege and it's my pleasure, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to share our, you know, call for submissions and get some more stories. And I just want to mention, too, the segment on HRTV and Unbridled is actually sponsored by Thoroughbred, Inc., which is a horseshoe maker. It's a maker of racing plates since 1949, and it's a family-owned company. And Ed Kinney, who is the head of it now, is a dear friend of mine. And they have, you know, had shoes on more racehorses than any other horseshoe manufacturer over the years. So it's kind of a really sweet tie-in.
Nice.
You know, because most of the horses that are off the track have worn thoroughbred shoes, and they, too, are looking to celebrate second careers of thoroughbreds because, truly, they've made their living off of supplying horseshoes for racehorses. So it's a pretty cool tie-in in that respect.
Absolutely, and I know that there's so many people that earn their living from this breed who would, I'm sure, love to jump in and help whichever way they could. So again, how can people submit to it? Because I think we went through that too quick, and I want to post that on Facebook and let everybody know how they can tell their story of their thoroughbred and send it to you guys.
Sure. Well, we do have a Facebook page. We just set up for Thorough Talent, and it's facebook.com/, and it's Thorough, T-H-O-R-O, Talent. So that is up and running. And our email address is thoroughtalent at unbridledtv.com. We do have websites that are propagating today and should be live, hopefully, in the next 24 hours, specific to Thorough Talent. So really, email is the best submission, and a story, an overview, pictures. And what we're doing is, you know, following up with, we need to have submitted stories, just sign a release that gives us permission to not only format their story for TV, but air it on TV as well. And what's really been exciting, Jamie, is the response has been absolutely overwhelming. I mean, with limited publicity on our call for submissions, I'd say we have about 300 stories at this point, which are just...
Wow, you're going to be busy.
Running
all over the country.
Glenn, it's incredible. And one of the things the girls in the office and I decided to do is we're actually going to make a little 30-second spot to salute a lot of these people and their horses and their thoroughbreds and send them out as PSAs to any of the networks that will air them, you know, not only HRTV, but a TVG or an ESPN. It kind of reminds me of like when Willard Scott would salute the people that were 100 on the Good Morning America show. So it'll just, you know, it's just a sweet little thing. And it's, you know, it's our effort, you know, to say thank you to thoroughbreds and thank you to the people that are helping them. And at the same time, you know, showcase to the general public that, you know, these horses are, they're affordable, they're accessible. There's just a plethora of education that is available, you know, if you look for it. And it's really a win-win-win. So it's really snowballed and in about 2 weeks just kind of taken on a life of its own. And we're thrilled. I mean, I'm thrilled that you know, HRTV is out there, you know, airing good stuff for horses and thoroughbreds. And that so many people are willing to take the time and write and share their stories, and they are beautiful stories.
Well, I tell you, I just went on Facebook. I found it under Thorough, T-H-O-R-O, Talent, and I'm the fifth like, so we need to get that up today.
Oh, fantastic.
Get that started and get it all posted on there. And are you... I'm sure you wouldn't mind either if people post pictures of their rescued thoroughbreds on your Facebook page at Thorough Talent either. I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem.
I would love it if they did. And that's really, you know, my whole agenda behind it is to just get people, you know, talking about their thoroughbreds, sharing their retraining tips. I'm going to post later today my top 10 tips for, you know, reacclimating a thoroughbred from the racetrack. You know, to your home or a local stable, because that's an area of education. You know, I had the privilege of both galloping and riding horses, as Jamie has had, and it's very, I mean, it's two decidedly different lifestyles that a horse experiences on the track versus on the farm or at a local stable, and that transition period is so critically important for a successful acclimation of that horse into, you know, whatever discipline you so choose from that point. And, you know, that's an area we want to help in, too, and have a dialogue going.
I think it's terrific.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, I'm sorry. I got to tell you, I think it's going to be really hard to get women to talk about their horses. You know how they hate that.
Well, I'll let a little cat out of the bag as I really, really am cautiously optimistic and hopeful that this will develop into its own series, you know, specific to, I mean, when I read the stories, and if we could go out and film some of them, they are just fantastic, you know.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I think it's the tip of the iceberg, and, you know, together we can really, you know, make a difference and help. And I think just a community that comes together and their, you know, their only goal and agenda is to, you know, make life better for horses, that's going to be very successful.
Well, Susan, I'm excited about it, and we're posting all of this information on our Facebook page. Go like Thorough Talent on Facebook. I just went, see, now you've got six likes. And We'd love to have you back on too, Susan. Sometimes I kick Glenn out of here and we do just a woman-to-woman interview. And we'd love to have you on just to kind of talk about your life and get a little bit more in-depth. Would you be willing to come on and do that?
Oh, my gosh. I would be, like, totally honored. I was so excited all night about that.
You're the one with the TV show, and she's excited to come talk to us.
I have been so excited. I've looked forward to it, and I would be thrilled to come back. I mean, there's so much good stuff we can talk about and share, and love to do it. And I love what Jamie, what you're doing, and Glenn, what you're doing. It's fantastic. So you can count me in any time.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold when we're done here, and we are going to let Jennifer get a little bit more of your contact info, and then I'm going to call you, and we're going to kick Glenn out of here. We're going to have girl time.
All right, you got it, Jamie. Thanks, Glenn.
She liked that a little too much.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? Awesome. I love her. Susan, thank you so much for coming on. And we've got all your info up on our Facebook page. It's unbridled.tv. And you can definitely go and submit your off-the-track thoroughbred. Check out unbridled.tv. Thank you, Susan, very much.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm voting for Jet. I think Jet should be the first one. That's who I'm voting for.
Gosh, that'd
Do we
be
get
crazy.
To vote?
Now, they're doing submissions until January 31st, and you know how bad I am about deadlines and homework and stuff, so I'll do my best to get it all done. I don't know what I have to do, but I will check it out, and I promise that I will submit it, because, my God, he's such a good story. It is like...
Really yeah, that is a good story. I mean, when you've been illegally raced, when you've been tied to a post and starved to death, when you've been in jail for a year and a half, that's a whole lifetime at the age of four.
I know. Poor little guy. But now he's doing great. And I got to tell you, you know, the new horse that we got from jail, do you want a little update on him?
Can we get an update on him toward the end of the show?
Sure.
Let's make everybody wait.
All right.
We'll do that towards the end of the show. We have our guest on the line here, and we have to get to a song because we're going to have you try and call back in again. We're going to have you give it another try. And I did want to report to everybody that I got a text from Tammy this morning. Remember, we talked about she was in a serious car accident yesterday. She said she has a concussion. She got drugs. She's getting neck x-rays today. She feels a little bit better, but she's shaky and scared. And they pretty much said she had shaken baby syndrome. I guess that's what they call it when your neck gets all twisted around in the car accident. So she's doing okay. She's gonna be all right. So let's keep our prayers and thoughts. Thank you for everybody who commented. And you know, if you want to head over to the Western Radio Show and give some love over there too on Facebook, just search for Western Radio Show. I'm sure she'd love to hear from you over there as well. We're gonna do a song today by a new artist for us. Her name is Chancey Neal. She's a young girl who has been barrel racing since she was two. Alan is going to be highlighting her on the Western Radio Show this week and going to be spending a little bit of time with her, playing her music. She has moved to Nashville and is really trying to make a career out of this singing thing, and she's doing pretty well. She's going to be, I don't know if it's public yet, or I can't say who, but I think she's going to be fronting for a band coming up. So we'll probably hear more about that over on the Western Radio Show. I like her. I think she has a good sound. And this song is called Ride Away, and it's by Chancey Neal. You can find her on Facebook. Just search Chancie Neal.
Tonight, you were sure something to see.
A beautiful song. That is Chancy Neal. Yeah, that was awesome. I loved it. Right Away by Chancy Neal. And you'll hear more about her on the Western Radio Show coming up. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Audible.com. Do I sound audible? Can you hear me?
You sound like you're old. The old Jamie's back.
Shoo, my arm was cramping from holding the phone for an hour. My gosh.
I know. It does make a difference when you just get to put your headset on and talk into the mic, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's nice. So our next guest is on the line, Glenn. We have Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. Victoria, it's been a pretty awesome show so far, so you've got big shoes to fill.
Oh, no pressure then.
We're going to have you on because, you come on every single week. And, you know, they say, Glenn, keep your friends close and your enemies closer, and that is what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. That's right, because their competition on the ESMA Awards in our category for the best broadcast media outlet, and we all know that they're terrific, that we're better. Just saying.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
You sound better. You were sick last week, if I remember right.
It's the joys of winter in Britain. It's very cold over here. So, yes, non-stop coughs and colds.
Well, you sound terrific today. Every horse husband in the audience loves when you come on with your lovely English accent.
Scottish accent.
Scottish accent. Well, it's turned a little bit, I think, since you moved to London. I think it's turned a little
bit. I'm turning into a Cockney, a Londoner.
That's right. Well, Victoria, what's going on over at Horse and Country TV?
Well, the team at Horse and Country are thawing out today because today we've been off filming with an Olympic dressage rider, which was quite nice. So we got back about 20 minutes ago, so we've just got back to our desks in time to call into the show. So that's been our main activity for today. What's going on in the news? Well, we've had a nice story this week about police horse.
Oops,
he retired.
I think. Hold on one second, Victoria. Try it again. You were breaking up there a little bit.
Am I back? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Let's give it another try.
Okay. Well, we had a nice story this week about a police horse who retired after 17 years of service, which is quite a long time for anybody to work in the police force, let alone a horse who had to deal with riots and crowd control. So that's a really sweet story.
Now, do you guys have a lot of police horses in London? Is it a big thing over there?
There is a number of mounted branches throughout the country, and there's quite a lot in London. You'll see them every few weeks or so. You'll see some out having exercise around the city. So not all our policemen are on horseback, unfortunately, but there are quite a lot. And every time we have football matches, there's always police horses there helping with crowd control. So it's really nice to see Clyde, who's this police horse, getting a long and happy retirement after such a long service.
That's terrific. Yeah. Good. What else? Something about the best turned out racehorses. There was a video on your site about the best turned out racehorses. What was that about?
Well, I don't know if you have this over in the States, but whenever we have racing, there's always a prize for the best turned out racehorse. And it's a way of kind of congratulating the grooms for all the work they put in and turning out the horses. And it just, you know, it means the racehorses get a bit of care and attention to their turnout. And so there's this brand new series now where the horses will go to certain race tracks every month and they're going to build up points. And so a yard can bid to be the yard with the best turned out race horses of the year. So it's nice to see them being rewarded for their hard work.
Geez, I don't think we have that there, do we, Jamie? I've never heard of that before.
I can't say that I've heard of that either.
Yeah, that's new for over here.
I think you should campaign to start it in America because it's definitely something that we have a lot over here, both in flat racing and in jump racing. And it's just really nice. And also, it's quite sweet because sometimes the horses who aren't about to win the race do get to win the turnout prize. So at least they get to win something.
I think it's a terrific idea because, you know, it would, you know, incentivize the grooms to, you know, put that extra polish on them before they go out, which they don't usually do in the ordinary races over here. They obviously look terrific when they go out in the Kentucky Derby, but I love that idea. That's a terrific idea.
I got to tell you, the guy that I worked for when I was galloping racehorses, we had a horse that was going into a race, and this horse had like half his mane was a foot long, a quarter of his mane was gone, and then another a couple of inches long. And I was like, I'm sorry, you cannot send this horse to the track looking like this. This is Keeneland, for God's sake. They have to look good. And so he's like, the horse, I spent like all morning doing his mane, trying to get him clipped, you know, trying to make him pretty. And he goes out there and the horse comes out of the starting gate and just runs as fast as he can and just was dead last. I mean, dead last.
But he looked
and
good.
And as he crosses the finish line, the trainer's wife turns to me and goes, well, he looks pretty.
This prize would have been perfect for him then.
Oh, exactly. It would have, at least he was a little bit not looking like a complete homeless horse, you know.
Oh.
But I love that. I love that. That's a great idea.
What's quite sweet about jump racing here is they do the best turnout and the grooms that want to win will plat up their horses. And then on the way down to the start, the jockeys will unpick the bottom three plats so that they've got something to hang on to if things go a little bit wrong. So they start off with beautiful plats and then they end up with half the main plats, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, they do that in eventing. They do have the best turned out, and apparently it's a very prestigious award for the grooms. To have best turned out.
It is indeed. And I'm actually judging one of the qualifiers with my horse and country hat on. So I'm going to go down and then I have to pick a best turned out racehorse. So I'm thinking I might get them to do individual shows and, you know, walk, trot and canter on both reins. But we will see. They might not agree to that.
You get on them.
Yes, exactly. I'll try them out.
Well, you had a different show jumper for a change in the news, doing well here in sunny palm tree-laden Florida.
Yes, this is Scott Brash, who is only 26, so he's probably one of the youngest riders that have really broken through onto the international level from Britain. And he actually grew up about 10 miles away from me, so I'm a big supporter of his. And, it's great to see him off in Florida doing well.
Yeah, you guys are doing pretty well, actually, in Florida.
We are.
The dressage starts today, I think. So, you know, we're going to have – do you have any dressage riders over here?
We do indeed. And I saw an interview earlier today from Stefan Peters, who I believe is the defending champion, and he said the one to watch is Charlotte Dujardin and Vallegro, who – Charlotte did her first Grand Prix test in January, and Vallegro is now – pretty much seen as one of the top dressage horses in the world. She's Carl Hester's protege, so watch out for her. I think she's going to be in with a good shot of doing well.
Yeah, and what a beautiful horse Vallegro is. If you haven't seen Vallegro, just look him up. He is an absolutely stunning horse.
And it's just amazing that Carl Hester's got Utopia, who's obviously, you know, won European gold and has been talked about a lot. And now his protege's got Vallegro, who's equally as good, if not maybe even better. So it's a very exciting time for British dressage.
Okay, cool. Cool. And then speaking of British dressage, you're also playing around over in Europe a bit.
Yes, we've had Richard Davison, who's been a long-term British team member. He's been over in Amsterdam, and he's finished eighth in a recent qualifier. But it was Adeline Cornelissen and Parseval who are winning again. They've won two World Cup qualifiers in a row. So I think they're still ones to watch. They've been at the top of their game for a couple of years now, but I think they're going to be the ones to beat in the World Cup and in Greenwich come the summer.
Now, how about your blog of the week? We always tend to want to talk about the blog of the week because they're fun.
Yes. Well, as I said, today Jenny and I were off filming with Emil Forey, another dressage rider, and I got to go on this one. But a few days ago, Jenny and our camera girl, Katie, got to go meet eventing legend William Fox Pitt. And they seem to have had a very nice day, and they met William, but Jenny just seems to have done a lot of cuddling of Forsey. That's pretty much what she spent most of the day doing. I think she got hold of Tamarillo, who's won both badminton and Burley, and she spent most of the day giving him cuddles.
Well, I do have to say this about, because we had a comment, we have a lot of guys that listen. You know how the horse your listening base is probably mostly women, or your viewer base, and
yeah.
Our listening base is mostly women, too, except for this show. We have a lot of horse husbands that listen to this show, and a couple of them commented last week after they looked you up on the website that that you weren't a bad-looking English girl over there. And I got to say, is that the hiring policy at Horse and Country TV? Because I'm looking at this blog, and you're right, she's doing a lot. There's a very pretty blonde girl doing a lot of hugging of horses.
That is Jenny, yes, the glamorous Miss Rudel. She is our main presenter. And I don't think it's the case that you have to be tall and blonde to work for Horse and Country, but but it helps.
Now, listen,
and of
Glenn.
Of course, William Fox Pitt's in the pictures, too, by the way.
Yeah, whatever. No, listen, Glenn. When he said, Victoria, that the guy said you were not bad-looking for an English chick, that is so not what they said, okay? It was like... Dude, she's way hot. Have you seen her? Check her out. You're being a little.
I think
I was trying to be somewhat diplomatic.
Yeah, right.
I've also got very good Photoshop skills. It's all makeup and Photoshop.
Uh huh. You can't fake that, babe. Can't do it.
And they're not allowed to say I'm a hot English girl because I'm Scottish. It's a big difference. It's like being called Canadian or if you're American or vice versa.
All right, you're a hot Scottish girl then. I'll go with that. And I think all of the listeners don't care, to be honest with you. so you could be from anywhere.
Okay.
So now that you're blushing and everything, what else do we need to talk about?
Well, I don't know if you've seen on our Facebook page this week, but we seem to have a lot of horses who can either help with the mucking out or help put beds down. And I don't know where people are getting these horses, but I quite like mine to be able to do some of the mucking out. So, yes, if anybody else's horse can wield a shovel and a brush and do some sweeping up, then let us know.
You actually have those videos on your site right now?
We do on our Facebook page. Yes, we've had a couple. So I would like somebody to tell me the secrets of how you can teach your horse.
Yeah, I
to
would
help.
Too. I've never found a horse that would help with that.
No. I did. My old horse once grabbed hold of the wheelbarrow and tipped it upside down. So that's helping off the sore.
Yeah. They're so helpful like that, too. You know, yeah. I mean, gosh, you wheel it in, you get it all filled up, and they wait just until you're about to go wheel it back out and they knock it over. And
yeah.
Then you got to pick it all up again. Mm-hmm.
It's great fun.
And they never touch it when it's empty. When it's empty, they leave it alone for some reason.
Of course.
Yeah, works that way. What's coming up over here? Now, we can catch some of the Horse and Country TV programming on HRTV over, it seems to be HRTV a day here on Horses in the Morning, but we can catch some of your programming over here on so what's coming up for us?
You can indeed. If you head to hrtv.com, you'll find out all the listings. I haven't had this week's programs through yet. I know they've been showing from the Polo series, so I'm not sure whether it's the next episode of that.
Well, and
And over in the UK, we have quite an exciting documentary coming up on Saturday night, which is all about Galloper Jack, who was a genuine war horse. So, yes, find out all about this horse who took part in the First World War.
Okay, cool. And also there was a show that I was kind of wondering what it was about called Roodles. Is it Roodles Roundup?
It is indeed. Now, Roodle is in Jenny Roodle, who was the person pictured cuddling all those horses with William Fawcett.
Okay.
This is her show, and it's not Roundup as in she's rounding up cattle or anything. It's her news Roundup. So Jenny goes off to all these shows and events and yard visits, and she meets riders and gets behind the scenes and finds out all the gossip. So, yes, Jenny fronts the program.
So I highly recommend to our male listeners out there that Roodle's Roundup is one you want to catch. Doesn't really matter what the content is. It's going to be a terrific show. Highly rated by horse husbands everywhere.
Jenny's actually in the room today with me while I'm doing this radio show, and she's now looking slightly alarmed. Yes.
Is she there? Put her on.
Yes,
we want to talk to her.
You want to talk
to her?
Get her
over to
the
show. Yeah, we want to talk to her. We want to talk to her.
Hello.
What's your first name again? Hey there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. We were just talking about how we have a lot of male listeners to the show, and they love you guys. And now I find out that you have your own terrific new show. So tell us about it.
Well, basically, it's me going around to all the different events, so badminton or Olympia, and watching all the riders, and then going backstage and interviewing them and trying to get some of the backstage gossip, and then meeting their horses and going to their yards and just trying to get all the behind-the-scenes stuff that the people really want to see.
Best job ever.
Yeah, anyway, good job. And we saw the blog post of you over at William's place, and did you even notice he was there? Judging by the pictures, not.
Yeah, no, well, I did. Obviously, when I had to interview him, I did. But then the moment the interview was over, I did sneak off and go and have a cuddle with my favorite horse.
That's funny. Most women would be like, oh, I get to go see William Fox Pitt. You're like, I got to see his horse.
I know. Well, that horse has been a favorite of mine for about 10 years, so I was really lucky to meet him.
Well, you guys are doing a terrific job over there. We absolutely love having you on. We'll say goodbye to Victoria. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. I'll pass you back to Victoria.
Okay.
There you go. You've had the famous Jenny Riddle on the show.
It doesn't get better.
She's a good sport.
I think you might not forgive me for that impromptu media appearance.
Kelly, you have to put up with us every week. I know.
Yes. Well, actually, I'm going off to collect my horse in a couple of weeks' time, so I might try and ask Jenny to be a stand-in in a couple of weeks so you can grill her.
Oh, you have to put her on. Make her do it.
Yes.
Kelly, you have to put up with the torture every week. She can do one or two.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this has been great. Thank you again so much for joining us. It's horsescountry.tv. There's a ton of videos over on the website. You will be entertained for hours. Just hop on over there. And thank you so much, Victoria, for putting up with us every week.
No, thank you. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Right. Bye, Victoria. Have a great day.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
They're never coming back.
No, I think you pretty much sealed that deal. And Robert Dunn is mad at you because he wrote, are there any British horses here for the dressage masters? Glenn,
I did ask
how could
that.
You
she
not
told
ask?
Us that. I did ask that. And she answered
did
it.
You...
Pay attention, Robert. Pay attention.
Okay, just checking. I wasn't paying attention either, I guess.
She answered that question. Right, guys, you guys blaming me. Thank you, Smokey Brandeman, for placing a vote for us. He voted for us on the ESMA Awards and made a post to that. We appreciate that, Smokey. And I have a couple news stories here. You know how I absolutely love ponies.
You're and a pony guy.
I'm a pony guy. I love ponies and I love draft horses. I love both ends of the spectrum. And ponies are my favorite, though. I love driving ponies. I love little riding ponies. I love little miniature horses. I just love ponies. I told you all about the mini donkey that's out at the farm. By the way, this is still the cutest thing ever. So anyway, I was reading the news this morning, and normally my eyes don't go to anything that involves the Kardashians. However, this story involved a horse or a pony in the Kardashians. And it's how Kourtney Kardashian celebrated Mason Dysick's second birthday. I don't know anything about the Kardashians. I don't want to. Well, apparently, Kris and Bruce Jenner, who are the grandparents of Kourtney's kid, whose name is Mason, they had decided to have a birthday party. So they spent a ton of money, and they had a cowboy birthday party with cake, and the cake was the shape of a cowboy hat, and they had the Wild West theme going on, and they hired all kinds of people, and they just went all out. They had pony rides and a petting zoo and an arts and crafts table, and they did it the way the rich Kardashians would do it because it was probably being filmed for the TV show, which brings my point of contention. There is a picture. I'm going to try and be diplomatic about this because I love ponies. There is a picture, and I don't think I want Jennifer to post this. You can go Google it yourself. Go Google Kardashian birthday party. You'll find it.
Oh, post it. Keep people from doing too much work. If you're going to rip this pony, then we need to post the picture.
I don't want to rip the pony. I want to rip the people who brought the pony to be filmed at the Kardashians' house because it is the ugliest, most unkept pony I have ever seen in my life. When I looked at the picture, I was appalled. First of all, it has a crappy old halter on. You know you're going to the Kardashians' house. You know your pony is going to be on TV. You know it's going to be pictures and a press release. So is this crappy? It looks like this pony has not been brushed in 10 years. It's not the pony's fault. The hair, the mane, is awful. I mean, absolutely has not been touched. The feet are too long. Is there anything that's good about this pony that I'm missing?
When you posted this story, I saw it, but I didn't talk to you about it. And I thought, well, it's nice that he's posting a story about the Kardashians having a pony at their kid's birthday party, but that's the ugliest pony I've ever seen. I'm not going to say a word. I mean, it is, bless its heart, it's like 150 years old. It hasn't had its hoofs trimmed in, a year, and certainly hasn't been brushed. And you're right. The girth is ill-fitting on the side of the saddle. They've got this hideous fluorescent orange on a red pony, just terrible look and color, and the whole thing is a nightmare. And
if there was a really bad ad for pony rides at birthday parties,
yes! Good point. It's exactly a really bad ad. Here, come and put your child on this pony, and it'll be ugly. I mean, the whole thing is a mess. The whole thing is a mess. I agree.
And I love ponies. This is not the pony's fault. We're not picking on the pony. We are picking on the people who brought this pony to the park. If I was the Kardashians, I would have said, I want my money back. Hey, another story, too, before we end the day. Is remember we talked about Joe Montana lowering the price on his little property? He went from $49 million to $35 million. Remember he wants to move this thing. He fire sale. Well,
yeah.
And we talked about how it was, this big beautiful property, and it has this about 10,000 square foot house, and it has a shooting range and a private pond and a basketball court and an olive farm, and it also has an equestrian stable. Well, we were thinking a little California equestrian stable. I was thinking kind of Norco, like a couple of horses out in the back 40. No. We have a picture for you today that we dug up of the indoor arena at Joe Montana's house that he's trying to sell for $35 million. And I'm telling you what, any of us could live in that indoor arena. What a beautiful piece of art.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, I've got Chad here because I'm going to ask him what exactly Joe Montana has been doing since he retired from football, because we're having this discussion. This is Joe Montana's indoor riding arena, his house. $49 million is what he was selling it for. They've dropped the price to $35. Now, he was a quarterback in like the 80s, right?
Yeah, only the greatest quarterback of the 80s.
He didn't make that much money back then. How has he got this much money?
Well, I think he's selling Skechers Firm Your Butt Up sneakers now or something, isn't he?
It's so funny.
He owns California. The guy, he's the man. He made plenty of money.
Okay.
Joe Montana.
Well, sure, he's Joe Montana, but being Joe Montana doesn't pay the bills. And it certainly doesn't pay the bills for that indoor riding arena and that house and having a $49 million home.
No, Joe Montana, no problem. That's Joe Montana.
Oh, he's clouded by his youth, okay? he can't give me a real answer. What has Joe Montana done since he retired from football?
He would never have to do anything.
Okay. He's a god, and he floats around in his indoor arena.
The greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. You don't. If that doesn't pay the bills, nothing will.
Oh, okay. So basically, we have no answer to our question. What does
Joe... And Skechers butt-firming sneakers.
And Skechers butt-firming sneakers. There you go. That's what he's done. Didn't he do, like, the weight loss thing, Jimmy Craig or something, too? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think
he doesn't need it. He's a god. That's what I just got. Okay.
Well, the god apparently selling his indoor, which is godlike. The indoor he got of it is kind of godlike. It is huge and beautiful.
It is. Quite nice, and I love the fact that you can see jumps in the arena. So Joe Montana is a hunter jumper eventer, possibly. Yeah, what's up? So there you go. You can buy the house, and only $49 million. And apparently, he doesn't need the money because he's a god.
That's right. Well, Jennifer will post a picture on Facebook. It'll be the last picture of the day of Joe Montana's little indoor that you can have for a mere $35 million. If you need the name of the realtor, just drop Jennifer an email, and she'll be happy to forward it over to you.
Yeah,
that's it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Hey, you know, last week I noticed your trickery. You and Jennifer had trickery last week. You had booked the show so full that I even forgot I didn't get to do a crappy list last Wednesday. There were so many guests that I didn't get to do a crappy list, and I totally forgot about it because there were so many guests, and I think it was a conspiracy. So tomorrow, I will be sure to have a crappy list for you.
Oh, wow, I can't wait. And I'll just hold my my update on my new pony till tomorrow, so everybody has to tune in tomorrow to find out how he's doing in his life as a free pony.
just as a shot to the Gopher Coalition, how many?
Oh, my God. All of them. They're all gone. We have eradicated our gopher problem. We look for new mounds on a daily basis and cannot find them.
You're not finding any?
No, we found one new one yesterday. The first one we've seen new in a week. I have trapped 29. And so I don't think, the more I've been reading, they're solitary creatures, one gopher in each tunnel. So that one gopher was making all the holes in all those areas. We got those little buggers. They ain't coming back. What's up? We got it.
Do you think the email went out? Hey, she's figured it out. We have to get the hell out of here to the neighbor's house. I think that's what happened.
I do think they moved. But I've now handed off my traps to my neighbor, so you're all going down. I don't care. You're all going down. All right,
what
everybody, please have a what?
I was going to say, is the Gopher Coalition going to do now?
There is no Gopher Coalition because they're all dead. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, and gals. Woohoo!
Wear your seatbelts. Drive carefully today, everybody.
Man. Don't text and drive. Don't drink and drive.